The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Hi, folks, and welcome back to another Sunday morning teaching from Epiclesis. It's an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. And on this particular Sunday, we were extremely blessed to have my dear friend, and I consider him my pastor, Dr. Carl Peters, in for a wonderful retreat over the weekend on the sacraments. We asked Pastor Carl to remain for the weekend and lead us in a wonderful sermon teaching on Sunday morning. This particular one was from the lectionary for the day, and Carl talked to us about the greatest commandment. The Lord be with you. Now, here's Dr. Carl Peters.
It's an honor to be with you again. It's great to see your smiling faces and to worship with you and enter into this sacred space. I see God's story laid out before me, coming through those doors like coming to the Lord, outside the covenant, into the covenant. The first thing we recognize is the font, which reminds me of Israel coming through the Red Sea. It reminds me of Christians coming through the baptismal waters, entering the new Exodus. In that first Exodus, they needed provisions for the journey. The Lord gave them manna, and He gives us the new manna at His table. And as we continue our journey, I see before me what appears to be a presentation of heaven with the Trinity at its heart. This is the whole story of God laid out before us, and you worship in this environment. All that you do here is to glorify God and to form your faith, to conform to the image of Jesus. It's a privilege to be with you. When Chris called me and said that he'd like me to come do the retreat, he said the guy they wanted couldn't come, so he wanted me to maybe think about it. So he also said that he really just wanted to spend time with his buddy. And Chris and I have been very, very close for many years now since our doctorate days, working on our doctorates. And Chris said, I don't care what you teach on. He said, you could come and read the phone book. So those of you who were not at the retreat, that's exactly what I did. I just read the phone book for 2 days. It was a rich time, and I'm grateful for the time we had at the retreat this week. I'd like to share a message today about the greatest commandment and following the lectionary readings for today. Let me ask you, when you were growing up, did your family have any parental commands, let's put it that way, parental commands, expectations for you? Very early on, we may have heard something like this: you need to share your toys. Did you hear that when you were little? When we were young, we also heard, eat all your food. There are children around the world who are starving. Did you ever hear that? Did you ever make the mistake of saying, well, send them that? I think I did that once. Then there's this often heard instruction: turn the lights off. Were you raised in a... You heard it too, eh? And in the unlikely slippage of a bad word, we would hear something like this: do you want me to wash your mouth out with soap? Then there's the greatest of all parental commands: stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. That's right. It's a wonder we survived, huh? In our gospel reading for today from Matthew 22, a lawyer of the Pharisees, an expert in the law, comes to Jesus. He is also interested in the greatest command. So he asks Jesus a question about the law and Jesus' understanding of it. So first, let's consider the lawyer's question. If you have your Bibles, it's in Matthew 22, starting with verse 34. Matthew 22, 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him: teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus had already dumbfounded the Sadducees. They had asked Jesus a complex question about the resurrection. You may recall that the Pharisees believed in the resurrection, but the Sadducees did not. That's why they were... Well done, Chris. Next up in the parade of pariahs is a lawyer. He is not a lawyer like Perry Mason or Matlock or Johnny Cochran. This Pharisee is an expert or a doctor in the Mosaic law. The Greek word for law, nomos, is the equivalent to the Hebrew for Torah. The Torah is made up of those first five books, as you know. Remember, the Pharisees despised Jesus. They were opponents. They wanted nothing more than to ruin Jesus' reputation. This instance is just another time where they seek to destroy Jesus. So the lawyer asks him a question to test him. What was the question? Teacher or rabbi, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Well, just how is that such a tough question? Why would this inquiry be a test for Jesus? Well, let me ask you. How many Old Covenant laws were the people expected to keep? How many were there? If you said 100, well, you're on the right track. If you said 200, warmer. 300, warmer. 400, even warmer. 500, very warm. 600, hotter. If you said 613 laws, you'd be exactly right. 613. This man has a doctorate in the law. So no matter which one of the 613 laws Jesus claims to be the greatest, surely this expert can find fault in his answer. He can make a counterargument and accuse Jesus of either ignorance or perhaps even blasphemy or heresy. Of the 613, which would you choose? Which would Jesus choose? Well, look at verse 37. Here we find the Lord's answer. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So of those 613 laws, which one does Jesus choose as the greatest? Well, the obvious answer would have been the first of the Ten Commandments. At the top of the first tablet carved by the hand of God, we find, "You shall have no other gods before me." Instead, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 6 and the great Shema. Shema in Hebrew means hear, and it is from the first word of this beloved Jewish creed. It's Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Allow me to share it. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Do you know how many times faithful Jewish people would quote the Shema daily? They recited it three times a day. Well, why three times a day? They simply followed the instructions there in Deuteronomy 6. They would say it first in the morning when they would rise. They would recite it a second time at noon when they were walking by the way. And third, before bedtime when they would lie down. Could Jesus have chosen this beloved passage because it actually contains the same concept as the first of the Ten Commandments? It's entirely possible. What the first commandment states in the negative, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," the Shema states in the positive, "The Lord our God is one." In other words, He is our only God. He exclusively is our God. But Deuteronomy 6 doesn't stop with accepting the belief that there is one God. Jesus said the greatest commandment is for us to have a love for God. That's precisely why Jesus chose the Shema as the greatest commandment. He didn't come to present a list of realities for us to believe. Jesus came to offer us a loving relationship with the Father. I had a seminary professor who was struggling with this concept. In fact, it's our beloved mentor, Robert Weber. When he was a student, his education had taught him that the true faith was all about believing the right things, ascribing to the right set of beliefs. class after class had helped him to find the right answers to any question, to be able to give a defense for the hope that's within you. He had all the right answers. He was presented with proofs for the Scripture's authority and reams of information on the historical veracity of Jesus. He had learned a great deal of information about the Lord, but rarely, however, did he truly experience the Lord. He began to realize that faith had been boiled down to a set of truths to be believed. Despite his growing wealth of knowledge, over time he became more and more dissatisfied. God seemed distant to him, and he felt that his heart was growing cold. Something was missing. One day, while preparing to speak in chapel after he was hired at Wheaton, God moved him. While he was preparing to speak, he realized the sermon he had prepared was just more of the same stuff. Easy answers. Easy Christian faith. He was compelled to throw it in the trash can. When he came before the students at the chapel service that day, he said to them, "We really don't need more information about God. What we truly need is God Himself." The greatest commandment says we should believe the right things about God. Yes, but it doesn't stop there, does it? Just believing the right things is not enough. In James 2:19, we read, "You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." Along with right belief, there's more. We're to have a loving relationship with God. The greatest commandment says you are to love God with all your heart. In those days, the heart was the center of the will. So we are to love Him with our will. Simply put, we need to be all in, totally committed, holding nothing back. We are to love God with our whole soul. The Hebrew word for soul, nefesh, means with your life. It's an all-encompassing statement. Everything associated with you must be dedicated to the Lord. We're to love God with all our mind. This means we are to love God with our intellect. We must dedicate our thinking to God in love. We are to have the mind of Christ, to be in agreement with Him. Taken together, the Shema says we are to love God with all that we are and all that we have. So much more than having just right beliefs about God. We are to have a loving relationship with Him. Do you believe the right things about God? That's good. Do you have a relationship with God through Jesus? Do you love Him with all that you are and all that you have? That's great. Jesus goes on to say that we are to have a love for God, and also a love for our neighbor. Once again, Jesus is quoting the Old Testament. This time it's Leviticus 19:18, which says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." While this sounds great, actually loving this way is very counterintuitive. Our society tells us to look out for number one. We are to stand up for ourselves, demand our rights. But Jesus says the second greatest command is to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. If we want to understand this kind of love, we need look no further than the cross. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." Jesus sets the example of the way we are to love. He is the standard of loving your neighbor. How well do we love our neighbors? How well do we love each other? Do we love self-sacrificially? Do we put the needs of others ahead of our own, as Philippians 2 tells us to do? There's an old Shaker hymn. "I live in Shaker country. Not far from my home is Shaker town. If you're ever in central Kentucky, I'll take you there and show you this beautiful, beautiful place." It's so interesting. They dedicated their lives, committed themselves to celibacy. And I don't know why, but they died out for some reason. That may be the worst church growth program ever. The old Shaker hymn, based on 1 John says this, if you love not each other in daily communion, how can you love God whom you've not seen? The minister was speaking about all the things money can't buy. Money can't buy happiness. It can't buy laughter. And money can't buy love. He told this to the congregation, driving his point home. He said, what would you do if I offered you $1,000 not to love your mother or your father? A hush fell over the congregation. Finally, a small voice near the front raised an important question. How much would you give me not to love my big sister? Jesus said, by this will all people know that you're my disciples. What? If you have love one for the other. We are to love God with all that we are. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. That means loving all people, those who are like us and those who are not. Those who like the things that we like and those who do not like those things. Those who vote like we do and those who do not. Even those who don't believe like we do. We are to love them. Indiscriminately, we are to love. Reaching the lost must begin with loving hearts of concern for all people. This is the second greatest commandment. And Jesus said it's like the greatest. You see, perhaps Jesus equated the two because the way we love others is quite literally the way we love God. Jesus said in Matthew 25, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it unto me. Do we love him? Then we should love others. The entire law rests on obedience in these two commands. Finally, look at verse 40. It's a list of 10 distilled to 2. Matthew 22:40. On these two commands depend all the law and the prophets. Jesus has distilled 613 laws and the 10 commandments down to 2. And on these 2 hung all the other laws. When I was a little boy, many Saturday nights we would go out to the Gospel Barn in Bankers, Michigan. Not only did they host gospel quartets every weekend, but there was a special little barn next to the big barn. Guess what they made in that little outbuilding? No, it was not moonshine. They produced maple syrup in that little barn. After collecting the sap, it was placed in trays. There were many trays that the sap had to run through, and as it passed through this gauntlet, this process, finally, it came to the end, and what resulted from that was a wonderful, rich, and delicious syrup that is about the same as a bar of gold in price. Why is this important? Well, that distillation process is exactly what happened with the law, bringing it down to these two. Throughout the centuries, without exception, man has failed to keep the law. Let me look around the room this morning. Anybody here kept the law perfectly? I only see 3 hands, so that's good. Congratulations. A Jewish man and a Christian man were indulging in a friendly argument about their respective faiths. Most of the good things you Christians have, you've taken from us, the Jewish man said. The 10 Commandments, for instance. I'll admit, we took the 10 Commandments from you. That's true, answered the Christian. But you can't say that we've kept them. Sad but true, isn't it? Even the best of us has failed to keep the law perfectly. Some have said, well, we can't keep it anyway. Why even bother trying? Stories told of a man who smoked cigarettes, smoked voraciously. Through the reading of numerous articles, he became alarmed about the strong relationship between smoking and health issues. He finally confided in a friend. He said, I've been reading so many articles about smoking and health problems that I've decided to quit reading. Now in the greatest commandment, the law, like maple syrup, is perfectly distilled, perfectly refined and presented to us by Jesus. And notice that the greatest commandment, to love God, corresponds to what was contained, according to tradition, on the first of two tablets, the Ten Commandments. Tablet one dealt with worshiping God only, holding God's name in reverence, and observing Sabbath rest. Tablet two deals with loving others. Honor parents, don't murder, no adultery or theft, don't bear false witness, don't covet your neighbor's wife, nor your neighbor's property. Though Jesus has quoted the Shema in Leviticus 19 as the greatest commandments, I believe the Ten Commandments are also clearly in view in his brilliant answer. Jesus then says that in these two commands are fulfilled the law and prophets. Well, what's the law? That's the Torah. Five books of Moses. Can you recite them with me? Backwards? No, let's recite them. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And the prophets. What is that? Well, they're the historical and prophetic books. I won't ask you to recite them from memory. However, I do have a friend who can say all the books of the Bible backwards. Pretty impressive. Jesus offers the greatest commandment and one that's like it. Have you considered that the first commandment is vertical? It is God-directed. A line upward. The second is horizontal. It's directed toward man. Is it just a coincidence that this makes the sign of the cross? Our world is consumed with greatness. A few things are watched by more people than the World Series going on now, the Super Bowl coming up, March Madness. People in Kentucky are absolutely consumed by March Madness. The Kentucky Derby gets us too. God's standard for greatness is different. God's standard for greatness is not defeating your enemy, but loving them. Oh, how we need to hear that today. If you want to honor God by keeping his greatest parental command, then love God with all that you are and all that you have. And love your neighbor as yourself. Brian Chappell tells the story that happened in his hometown, and I conclude with this. Two brothers were playing on the sandbanks by the river. One ran after another up a large mound of sand. And unfortunately, the mound was not solid, and their weight caused them to sink very quickly in the sand, like quicksand. When the boys did not return home for dinner, the family and neighbors organized a search party, and they went out looking, desperately looking. They finally found the younger brother unconscious, with his head and shoulders sticking out above the sand. When they cleared the sand to his waist, he came to, he awakened. The searchers asked him, "Where is your brother? Where is your brother?" The child replied, "I'm standing on his shoulders." With the sacrifice of his own life, the older brother lifted the younger to safety. That little boy buried in the sand was the embodiment of God's greatest parental command. A lawyer asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" Oh, may we give our lives to obeying the Lord's answer. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself."
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.